Ephesians 6 says our fight is not against any physical enemy. It's against organizations and powers that are spiritual, and we are to stand firm. Welcome to The Invisible Realm with Troy Albano of Discipleship Duplication, equipping you to be God's warriors for battle against the forces of evil in the spiritual realm. You will learn to exercise authority from the position in Christ and to increase your faith so that you may fight not for victory, but from victory. This spiritual warfare training will give you the ability to stand firm and then to help others stand. Now, here's Troy Albano of Discipleship Duplication.
Matthew 24, verse 15 through 24. Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation, which is spoken of through Daniel the prophet, standing in the holy place, let the reader understand. Then those who are in Judea must flee to the mountains. Whoever is on the housetop must not go down to get the things out that are in his house. Whoever is in the field must not turn back to get his cloak. But woe to those who are pregnant and to those who are nursing babes in those days. But pray that your flight will not be in the winter or on a Sabbath. For then there will be a great tribulation, such as has not occurred since the beginning of the world until now, nor ever will. Unless those days have been cut short, no life would have been saved, but for the sake of the elect, those days will be cut short. Then if anyone says to you, behold, here is the Christ, or there he is, do not believe him. For false prophets or false Christ will arise and will show great signs and wonders, so as to mislead, if possible, even the elect. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1. Now we request you, brethren, with regard to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, that you not be quickly shaken from your composure or be disturbed either by a spirit or a message or a letter as if from us, to the effect that the day of the Lord has come. Let no one in any way deceive you. For it will not come unless the apostasy comes first, and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction, who opposes and exalts himself above every so-called God or object or of worship, so that he takes his seat in the temple of God, displaying himself as being God. So in verse 4, the Antichrist will take a seat in the temple of God. The temple of God will be rebuilt, and Satan will take a seat there. And that's going to happen during the Great Tribulation. And he's going to deceive many as the false Messiah. Now, think about it. Who will the Antichrist deceive? It's going to be the believers. Why? Because no one else is going to be following Christ other than believers. But this is the false Messiah that will be sitting at the rebuilt temple and displaying himself as God. Let's look at verse 8 through 10. Then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will slay with the breath of his mouth and bring to an end by the appearance of his coming. That is, the one who's coming is in accord with the activity of Satan, with all power and signs and false wonders, and with all deception of wickedness for those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth so as to be saved. So we could see with the passages I just read that there will be false Christs, false prophets, that will show great signs and wonders to deceive, to mislead. It even says even possibly the elect. And we see it also right here in verse 9, I read, with all power and signs and false wonders, with all deceptions of wickedness. And why is that? Because they did not receive the love of the truth so as to be saved. There's a segment in Christianity that's growing rapidly right now. That segment are chasing signs and wonders. And it's growing so rapidly that many people are being deceived with a false counterfeit spirit. They begin with signs and wonders, the sensational. But the Word of God speaks something very different. In Hebrews chapter 2, let's turn there in verse 2. For if the words spoken through the angels proved unalterable, and every transgression and disobedience received a just penalty, how will we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? After it was at the first spoken through the Lord, it was confirmed to us by those who heard. And verse 4, God also testifying with them, both by signs and wonders, and by various miracles, and by gifts of the Holy Spirit, according to his own will. So we see here, it first began by the Lord speaking the truth. It began by the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then those who were around them, they heard the truth. They received the word. And from there, God testifying with them with signs and wonders, various miracles, and by gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his own will. So that we see now, these ones were not chasing signs and wonders. Signs and wonders followed. It begins with the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. One thing I've experienced is that those that are chasing signs and wonders, they don't share the gospel, the true gospel. In fact, many of institutional churches today have watered down the gospel of the kingdom of God, our Lord's gospel, because they have spent more time in entertaining than speaking the truth. One pastor once said to a group of many, many pastors at a conference, he said, if you're not ready to speak the truth in the Word of God, be ready to entertain. And that's what we see in many churches today, unfortunately. In John 8:32, it says, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And in 14:6, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Psalm 138:2, he magnifies his word even above his name. If we're going to guard ourselves from being deceived, we need to know the truth. How do you know if something's a counterfeit? By studying the real thing. In John 1:1, he says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And in verse 14, it says, and the Word became flesh. If we're going to protect ourselves against any deception, we need to know the real thing. We need to know the living word. Because the living word is Christ himself. He's the bread of life. He's food to our soul. He's the heavenly manna that came down from heaven. It's important to spend that time with him to know the truth. You know, I hear a lot about revival. And many are getting saved throughout different parts of the world, and they're being persecuted because of their salvation and because they're following our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But in the United States, here's what I believe, that it says here in verse 3 of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, Let no one in any way deceive you, for it will not come unless the apostasy comes first. And it's talking about the return of our Lord. And in the United States, people are always talking about this great revival, but here it says there will be a great falling away prior to the Lord's return. What I have a sense and believe, this is just my opinion, is that in the United States, I believe with those that are chasing signs and wonders, the false Holy Spirit, that the great apostasy, the falling away, will be a false Christian revival in the United States. So today I want to talk about the counterfeit. The counterfeit Holy Spirit, the counterfeit Christ, Messiah, that is the Antichrist, because it is moving so rapidly in the churches today. And that's why there's such a lack of power. And I'm going to share some testimonies, two testimonies that will demonstrate and testify to what I am sharing today. The first one has to do with a young man who came to one of my workshops on spiritual warfare, and that is equipping and training God's warriors for battle and exposing the forces of evil in the invisible realm. And he was invited, and he would sit in the very back, and I was holding this at one of the Christian universities out here in our area, and I would share, and then afterwards, he would come to all of these workshops, and when I would finish the series, we had a time to meet up because he wanted to meet with me. And so we met at a coffee shop, and he told me his story when he got saved. He said he got saved approximately 4 or 5 months prior to me meeting him. And he told me what happened. He was invited to this church gathering, which he's never been to before. And when he went into the building, it was very charismatic, where people were dancing. Some were actually rolling on the ground. And while he was there, he felt there was a lot of chaos and confusion. And then someone came actually up to him and wanted to pray for him to receive Jesus. So someone started telling him about what the Lord's giving him, a word for this young man. And so he laid his hands on him and he started praying for this young man. And all of a sudden, he felt something supernatural happen. He said he started heating up, started sweating where he had to take his jacket off. And all of a sudden, he felt like this weight that came upon him. And he felt this was definitely supernatural. And that day was the day he felt he received Jesus Christ. But when he opened his eyes after he'd been prayed for, everything around him, he understood. And what I mean by that, it was no longer confusion or chaos to him. It was as if he was one with that environment, one with that spirit. So he continues and he tells me from that day on, it was as if every time someone would ask him when he got saved, doubt would increase in him. He would share his story of that situation, but every time he would share it, it was as if doubt would creep in, like, did I really get saved at that time? And the reason why is because he started becoming very anxious. Just physical things in his health started increasing, and he also said there was a pain that came into his ear that became so painful that he had to go to the doctors. And when the doctors checked him out, they said there was nothing wrong with him. It would come and go. He did not even know where it came from. So he now started questioning his salvation. And so he started going to my workshops And he noticed that in my workshops, when people would ask questions, I would always open the very Word of God and I would show them in the Word. And that when I did that, they would not have anything to say because here's what the Word of God said. So what he did, he got a Bible and he started reading the Word. And he started in the book of Matthew and he said he read the whole thing and he noticed one thing. When he read the Word of God, that a weight did not come upon the people. When they got saved, it was as if a weight was lifted off them. So at that moment, because of the Word of God, he realized that something else came into him that was not the true Holy Spirit. That day, someone prayed for him. It was a counterfeit Holy Spirit. So what I did was I shared the full gospel to him because he wanted the truth. He wanted to be freed from all these things. He received Jesus as his Lord and Savior. And then I prayed for him and all these forces, these demonic forces, they came off him. They were lifted off him. Instead of a weight coming down, they came off him. In fact, that pain that was in his ear, the pain started increasing as I was praying to the point it was excruciating. And then all of a sudden it circled around his inside of his ear, out came outside around his ear, and it flew away. This person received Jesus as his Lord and Savior, and he got set free. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Now, why do I share this? Is because there is a false counterfeit Holy Spirit going out there in the churches and people are following it. And they're chasing signs and wonders without coming to the living Word of God. This is the day and age we live in. Deception, the enemy wants to deceive us. And he's doing that in the church today, because he comes like an angel of light. He is the counterfeit. 2 Corinthians 11:14 speaks of that. The second testimony I want to share has to do with a woman that has been going to a specific church for about 8 years. She's been struggling with suicide, depression, and she didn't know where it came from, but after we started asking questions, the Lord revealed to us the source of it. But what I wanted to share with her, I was with two other pastors at the time with this person because they asked me to come in and to pray with them. And she said that in this gathering that she'd go to, there would be hundreds and hundreds of people. She would pray in tongues, but she would pray very quietly, very silently, because if you read 1 Corinthians 14, it says if there's not an interpretation, it's best be silent. And so she'd be really quiet and she would share this with us, and I would ask her, so tell me a little bit more. But people there would tell her, no, it's okay to speak in tongues out loud while everyone is speaking, because I know certain groups of believers, they do that. But I was showing her the word in 1 Corinthians 14, and she just felt that because she didn't have an interpretation, that she'd rather be silent. And then I was looking at her, and I just sensed in my spirit to ask her this question. Because I just knew she knew. In front of the two pastors, I said to her, I bet you hear other tongues as well. And she looked at me and she knew exactly what I meant. And what I was saying to her was this, I bet you hear other tongues, and that is tongues of demons in the place of worship where you were at, while everyone was speaking in tongues. And she said, yes, she said that herself, that she hears it all the time. See, this is the counterfeit spirit. The counterfeit spirit also will counterfeit tongues, because Satan was an angel, tongues of angels. There is a demonic tongue. And I have heard so many stories, so many testimonies of demonic tongues where people are speaking in worshiping, during worship, in church gatherings, where they are cursing God and they are worshiping Satan in a demonic tongue and no one else knows it. Again, how do you know if something's a counterfeit? By studying the real thing. You see, the enemy is infiltrating the churches today because he can, because there's a lot of mixture in the church. In institutional churches, it's become more and more secular, and the enemy is just coming in and deceiving many. And that's why you have many young ones that are struggling with suicide, oppression, depression in the churches today. And most people don't realize it's spiritual. Not all is spiritual, but more than we think is spiritual. So it's important to know the truth. In John 17:17, it says, "Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth." If you want to be set apart, to be sanctified, the word of God says, "Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth." Spend time in the living word of God. When we pray for people that are struggling with demonic forces, one of the biggest things I would ask them, and many of these are Christians. Again, believers cannot be possessed, but they can be oppressed. And that is, they would even tell me they're full of the Holy Spirit, yet they experience all these demonic oppression. And so the biggest thing is I ask this question: how much time do you spend in the living Word of God? And mostly every case, they don't spend time in the Word. See, the Lord wants to spend time with you. He wants to have that intimate relationship with you. And most times we spend times in YouTubes, podcasts, secondhand information. But the Lord says, and they can be very helpful, but the Lord wants to spend time with you directly. And that is to read the living word. Let the Lord teach you to hear his voice directly. By meditating, drinking, eating of the living word. Again, the counterfeit. How do you know if something's a counterfeit? By studying the real thing. Jesus Christ is the real thing. It's through the power and the work of the cross of our Lord Jesus. It's through his death, burial, and resurrection. He ascended, and now he's seated at thy right hand, far above all principalities and powers and rulers. The enemy is at his footstool. Jesus Christ is Lord. He is victor, and Satan is a liar.
We are up against the unseen power that controls this dark world and spiritual agents from the very headquarters of evil. The good news is that we can put on the whole armor of God to resist evil and to stand. Are you standing firm? This spiritual warfare training on the invisible realm from discipleship duplication will help you clearly understand the unseen realm and the battle you face so you can fight from a position of victory. Troy Albano has a deep awakening to the spiritual realm and learned the authority that we have over demonic forces. He shares personal testimonies, and he equips you to be awakened, aware, and to overcome in the battle. Visit discipleshipduplication.com to learn about his seven spiritual principles of warfare so that you may stand firm. Tune in next week at this time to be further strengthened. DiscipleshipDuplication.com. Christ is victor.